Family, it's great to be together this morning. It's great to see so many more of you back this week than last week. And I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a great New Year's. As Ron mentioned last week at the beginning of his sermon, we have new signs. If you look to my right and you look to my left, we have new signage. That looks a lot like our old signage because we didn't get to do too much connecting in 2020, or it's not as much as we would have hoped for because of the pandemic, especially early on. We decided, as church leadership, as elders and staff, to add the and to reconnect in 2021. Thank you so much for reading the scripture together this morning. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be talking about reconnecting. Of course, the best way to reconnect is to stay connected. Back about 5 or 6 years ago, Tyrone Johnson, before he graduated from our ministry, brought a visitor with him to our ministry. And that visitor is right here, Zephyrin Augustine. Now, Zephyrin, he was also a graduate student at the time. And Tyrone asked if he could play intramural football with us because he was done playing football for the Gators. I said, let me think about that. Sure, that sounds great. And amazingly, we won a lot of football games that year in intramurals for Gators for Christ. But staying connected, I've stayed connected with Zephyrin through the years. I've watched him dedicate his life to the Lord when he was only a visitor here many years ago. And I watched him dedicate his life to this young lady, a wonderful Christian from Atlantic, Ashonda. And I proudly did their wedding on the last day of 2020. Of course, I did it with a stipulation. I'm going to be 10 feet from you with a mask on. Is that okay? And got to do their wedding. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Staying connected in people's lives. Of course, staying connected to God. This time last year, I read some New Year's resolutions. These New Year's resolutions this year, especially the top one, slightly different coming off of 2020. But from perusing the internet, the top five 2021 New Year's resolutions I found online, be happier, have a better mental health. And I thought it was funny, one of our students posted on their social media, what's in the red there, nobody claimed 2021 as your year. We're all going to walk in real slow, be good, be quiet, and don't touch anything. Now that is possibly the state of some of us, that frail state coming off of the shocking year that 2020 was for many of us. Another New Year's resolution is spend more time with family and friends. You would think we'd spend a lot of time with family, especially immediate family, which we got to, and I was very thankful for that time, watching my little girls grow up. But maybe not as much time as we would have hoped for with extended family, especially if travel was involved, or with friends that we wanted to see. Better marriage, that was one of the carryovers from 2020, that people want a better marriage, to stay motivated. Sometimes it's hard to stay motivated when you're in a rut or have a lot of things knocked out of your schedule. And then eat better, better health, and take care of your body. Now, of course, all these things we can find the answers to right here in God's Word. God has the answer to all these things. We need to remember that as Christ followers, and we need to be sure to share that with a fragile world around us. Reconnecting perspective. So what do we do when we do feel spiritually dry, especially coming off of last year? Well, Julie and I have a washing machine, a used washing machine that Travis O'Neill's brother, Jacob O'Neill, installed for me several years ago. And that thing still works. We bought it 10 years used at that time, and it still works. And I'm cheap, and I'm going to stick with it. Now, the problem with that washing machine is that if we leave it plugged in when we're done washing clothes, it continues to beep. It beeps and beeps and beeps. So Julie's like, what are we going to do about that? I'm like, easy solution. Click. Unplug. When you want to use it, just plug it back in. But does that work with God? Do we just connect with God here, Sunday morning worship, or in a Bible study? and disconnect the rest of the week? Or are we staying connected? How do we reconnect with God in a way that we stay connected? It is time to purge the things that separate us. And let's look at the causes of separation from God. Sin and habitual disobedience is one of those things that I found in Scripture. Another thing, fear and doubt. Another thing the Bible plainly tells us is distractions can be part of that disconnecting. And then grief and anger is yet another thing. Now let's look at the life of Peter, a before and an after. A before, when Peter disconnected and would reconnect with Christ, disconnected and would reconnect, to an after, that's a much better picture of Peter. But let's look at the before. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man was also with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I want to stop here for a moment, because sometimes we just read through Scripture, but we don't really focus on what's happening in the moment. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Men, have you ever gotten that look from your spouse when you've let her down? Maybe a lot of other people can't recognize that look, but you recognize that look. Thanks for that amen, Brother John. I've gotten that look a few times. Or for any of us, when we've disappointed a loved one or somebody we really care about, we get that look. Now thinking about disappointing the one you've been following for 3 years. Think about disappointing right before he was going to go to the cross to die for everybody. Disappointing Jesus, your Lord and Savior, in such a way. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Here's 4 lessons from that story from Peter that we can take home with us today. 1, again, when I reconnect with God, I'm saying no to sin and any habitual disobedience in my life. Disobedience is when we know God is asking us to do something or not do something, and we do quite the opposite. Jonah, of course, is a good example of this. God told him to go warn the wicked city of Nineveh of his coming judgment. And what does Jonah do? He runs the opposite direction. God is persistent, will continue to navigate situations so that we come face to face with our disobedience. A month ago or so, it was about early December, there was a snorkeler in the waters of California, just a little bit off the coast, close enough for people to video, and you can watch it on YouTube, but he gets swallowed up by a humpback whale. It's the craziest thing. I watched that, and I watched it about 3 times. I showed Julie. I showed Mackenzie. My wife made me stop showing my children. but he didn't break any bones, no injuries. Uncomfortable? Yes, probably. Jonah-like experience? Absolutely. God may not send a storm in your life, but he will allow you to feel uncomfortable with your decision if you ignore his calling. One example of disobedience is God pressing our heart to forgive someone as just a singular example. And I know this is an example that is a personal example of mine from years past. When we're called to forgive somebody, but we're dead set against it. Why? Maybe that person's wronged you multiple times, and you're not going to accept that behavior. However, not accepting that behavior is different from Christ's calling to forgive and not forgiving. Not forgiving makes us miserable. In order to reconnect with God, we have to repent of disobedience and stubbornness of that kind or any kind, just as Jesus told us. What does Jesus tell us about forgiveness? Forgive 70 times 7 to keep forgiving and extend God's love, mercy, and grace if we're really going to have an impact on other people. Second, when we reconnect with God, I'm saying no to fear and doubt. Think about Peter, how many times he was afraid. What about when Christ calls him to walk out on the water towards him? What does he do when he sees Jesus? He starts that journey, but then he grows fearful. He looks down at the wind and the waves, and he begins to sink. Think about how fearful he was and what we just read about him denying Christ. It's hard to have a relationship with anybody if we don't trust them. Whether we are talking about marriage, friendship, or our relationship with God, trust has to be at the center of it. Proverbs 3:5-8, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes." Think about that. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. James chapter 1, verse 5 and following. We need to seek our wisdom from God and not from ourselves. Third, when I reconnect with God, I realize potential distractions. And of course, when we think of distractions, we think of things like social media. We think of our cell phones. I saw that my screen time was up 18% last week from the week before, and I'm like, time to put the phone down. Time to put it down. But the distractions can come in so many forms. They can come in drama. It can come in gossip. It can come in so many ways, shapes, and forms. Now, as many of you know or may not know, my daughter Mackenzie has been spending this entire school year online, which absolutely drives her crazy sometimes, and especially drives my wife crazy sometimes. And as Mackenzie spends 6 hours of her day online doing school, following her classmates, and there's 30 little screens, and you can see 30 little faces and how easily they're distracted as first graders, it's not too surprising. But I'll tell you, after Mackenzie's done with that screen time, what do you think she wants to do then? Surprisingly, she wants more screen time. She wants to watch a cartoon or play a video game. So Julie and I have to rip her away from all of that, all those things that could take away from her schoolwork, from her physical activity, from her spiritual activity, and really help her focus in. And we as adults are no different. We must set boundaries on the things that distract us, politically, economically, a hobby, whatever it is, to get away from that. And anything that keeps us from reading God's word, praying and following his will for our lives. Distractions. Peter was distracted. And if we're not careful, we can be distracted by the world around us instead of lifting them up and staying connected to God. Keep your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Paul tells us in Colossians. And finally, when I reconnect with God, I am not overcome by grief and anger. Think about Judas when he betrayed Jesus, when he was overcome by grief. What did Judas do? A follower of Christ for 3 years. He hung himself. But think about what Peter did when he denied Jesus. Wow, he bounced back in a mighty way, and we're going to read that in just a little bit. But I linked grief and anger together because they're both strong reactions to hurt. Grief is isolating. We often shut out the world around us as a way of protecting ourselves. And anger is similar to that in that it's very consuming in our lives. Ephesians 4, Paul tells us to be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Did this passage of scripture said never be angry? Did not. It said be angry and do not sin. So don't let it consume you. Don't take it to bed with you. Resolve it. Give it to God. So let's look at the bounce back in Peter's life. How do we reconnect with God when life gets in the way, like Peter? Check this out in Acts chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there along with him, there was nothing they could say. Tell you, there's nothing anybody can say when you live a changed life, when you don't just say, "Hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower," or don't just say, "I'm a member of University City Church of Christ." But when people see true life change in you, there is no denying that life change. Amen, church? And I'll tell you, there's no denying when you are in the presence of others and your life change affects their lives. When your life change changes those lives around you because of Christ and His Spirit and God flowing through you, there is no denying that. What a great bounce back for Peter, as we read here in the New Testament church, in the beginnings of it in Acts. So how do we reconnect with God when life gets in the way? Well, rejoice in the good and the bad, praising God that He is in control of all things. Second, pray without ceasing, every day, anytime. Julie and I and Mackenzie, and even our 2-year-old Addie gets in on the act with her limited vocabulary. We all pray together when we wake up each morning and when we go to bed every night. We make a habit of praying together, praying for Nana to be healed, praying for all your prayer requests, praying together because it means so much to us that God is the difference maker in our lives. Third, in everything, give thanks. Make a habit of finding the good in every bad situation. And thank God that He is in control of your life. God is in control. Through my mom's cancer, God is in control. Through any hardship we may have gone through in 2020, guess what? God is in control. And remember, don't dwell on things you can't control. I know that's hard. But don't focus on that. Focus on truly, in 2021, letting go and letting God. He will remove the stress. I promise you that. Not the hardship, but the stress associated with it. Fifthly, rearrange your schedule to include your quiet time with God. Whatever that looks like. Early in 2020, I used to listen to sports talk radio on the way to work. Later in 2020, I started listening to Christian radio more. I started listening to my Bible app and having that be read to me while I'm driving. Not me, not reading the Bible app physically, but having it read to me while I'm on my way to work. And that little change has made a great difference. Find a quiet time with God in 2021. I'm going to show you a video at this time. It's about 2 minutes long. It's the best commercial I saw over the Christmas break. Absolutely amazing. And when you watch this in terms of the physical and the physical difference you can make in others' lives, I want you to think about this video also in the spiritual. Whether you're young or whether you're old, whatever your age, whatever your level of maturity in Christ, I want you to think about a way you can make a difference in a different way than 2020 in 2021 in others' lives. Let's show the video at this time. As you think about this video, I want you to think about a way you can connect with somebody else in this congregation. I want you to think about a way you can connect with somebody in our community, a friend of yours that maybe you disconnected from in 2020 because of the pandemic. Find ways to reach out for God that you haven't or weren't afforded the opportunity to do in 2020. Let's reconnect in 2021. Amen, church? Your homework. Reread Acts 4 together and answer these two questions. In what specific practical ways have you reconnected with God through the pandemic to this point? I want you to really think about this question and answer it together with others in your home later. And number two, how have you become bolder in your faith through your reconnection with God thus far? Bringing this all together, just like I did at the end of every sermon I did in 2020, bringing pleasure to God through worship, experiencing life together through fellowship, growing spiritually to be more like Christ through discipleship, serving the needs of others through ministry, sharing the good news through evangelism. God wants us to not only live in purpose-driven lives, but also he wants us to grow purpose-driven churches. If you need the prayers of this church for that reconnection with God in 2021, or if you need to come forward for any other purpose or to give your life to Christ for the first time as a follower of his through baptism, you have that opportunity now as we stand and as we sing.